In the sun-kissed land of Ithaca, the hero Odysseus stood as a beacon of courage and wisdom. Born to Laertes and Anticlea, he carried the legacy of his lineage on his shoulders. His father, Laertes, was the king of Ithaca, and a renowned hero who accompanied Jason and the Argonauts, as well as assisted in the Calydonian boar hunt, while his mother, Anticlea, was queen and the daughter of the great Autolycus. Odysseus's grandfather, Autolycus, was no ordinary man. He was a renowned thief, a master of trickery, and son of Hermes, the messenger of the gods. From him, Odysseus inherited his clever nature, a gift that would serve him well in the years to come. This was a land where legends were born, and as a child, Odysseus displayed early signs of his extraordinary talents. His quick wit, sharp intellect, and natural leadership abilities made him a standout among the youth of Ithaca. The people looked up to him, and they knew that his adventures had only just begun. Ithaca, with its rugged landscapes and azure seas, was the backdrop of Odysseus's early years. It was here that his curious spirit found its wings. The young boy had an insatiable hunger for knowledge, and he sought wisdom from the elders of Ithaca. As a young man, Odysseus embarked on a hunting expedition with his revered grandfather, Autolycus, and his uncles. On that fateful day, a massive boar, wild and untamed, crossed their path. In the ensuing frenzy, a sharp tusk tore through the air, its target no other than Odysseus himself. The boar's ferocity was matched by the young hero's unwavering spirit. With unyielding determination, Odysseus confronted the charging beast, steel clashing with primal fury. In that defining moment, he emerged victorious, the lifeless body of the boar lying at his feet. Yet triumph was not without its price. The boar had left a scar on in his thigh that would forever remind him of this harrowing battle and became a symbol of his courage and resilience. As Odysseus grew into a man, he blossomed into a figure of striking intelligence and charm. At the same time, Helen of Sparta, whose beauty was known far and wide, began to be sought after by suitors from every corner of the realm. Odysseus was among the suitors that traveled to Sparta to seek Helen's hand in marriage. However, Odysseus knew that with his humble kingdom, he stood no chance against the more powerful and wealthy princes. He did not even bother to bring any gifts with him, for he had an ulterior motive for this visit. Odysseus knew that Helen's father, Tyndareus, was afraid of the quarrel that would ensue once a suitor was chosen. Understanding this, Odysseus offered a solution to Tyndareus in exchange for his help in winning the hand of Helen's cousin, Penelope. Tyndareus agreed, and together with Odysseus, they made all the suitors swear an oath, a promise to protect Helen and her future spouse. This oath was believed to ensure her safety and happiness. While the suitors were hesitant, it was Odysseus, with his natural gift for persuasion and quick thinking, who convinced the suitors to agree to this pact. He swore the oath, and with his clever words, he won the day, earning him both Penelope's heart and the loyalty of noble warriors. In a splendid union, he married Penelope, and together they set out on a journey of love, adventure, and unforeseen challenges, eventually having a son named Telemachus. But happiness in the world of legends is often fleeting. Trouble took root when a beautiful queen named Helen of Sparta decided to run away with the handsome Trojan prince, Paris. Her husband, King Menelaus, was filled with rage and despair. He swore to do whatever it took to bring her back to his side. King Menelaus utilized the brave suitors who had courted Helen and swore an oath known as the Oath of Tyndareus. And Menelaus now called upon these former suitors to honor that vow. Among these reluctant heroes was Odysseus. He attempted to elude the war's call by feigning madness. In a clever ruse, he yoked a horse and a bull to a plow and sowed his fields with salt as if plowing the sea's waves. However, a shrewd recruiter named Palamedes wasn't fooled by Odysseus's madness. To prove the truth, he placed Odysseus's infant son, Telemachus, right in front of the plow's path. In a split second, Odysseus swerved away, sparing his son. His sanity was undeniable, and the call to war grew louder. Odysseus resented Palamedes for his cleverness, but fate had more in store for him. Odysseus set out on a mission to bring other heroes into the fold, most notably, the legendary Achilles. A prophecy had foretold that Troy could only be conquered with Achilles by their side. Achilles' mother, Thetis, was determined to keep her son from the battle, fearing his predicted fate of death. She disguised him as a girl and concealed him among the daughters of King Lycomedes on the distant island of Scyros. Yet Odysseus devised a plan to draw Achilles from hiding. He arrived on the island bearing gifts of fine clothing and jewelry, along with a sword and shield. Outside, his men created an illusion of an enemy attack on the palace. Chaos erupted, and amid the panic, Achilles revealed his true self, wielding the sword and shield without a second thought, revealing the mighty warrior he was destined to be. Odysseus's wit had won the day, and he persuaded Achilles to join the Greek forces bound for Troy. The Trojan War, with all its challenges and adventures, was about to begin. An epic journey filled with heroic deeds, fateful grudges, and unforeseen twists was set into motion. And Odysseus, the man of many wiles, was at the heart of it all. Amidst the chaos and carnage of war, a moment of diplomacy emerged. The Greek leaders saw a glimmer of hope for ending the relentless conflict. Among them, it was Odysseus who was entrusted with a mission that could save countless lives. He, along with two companions, was selected to embark on a daring mission, to carry an olive branch and a message of peace to the Trojans. It was a perilous task, for it would take them into the heart of Troy, a fabled city with towering walls and an army of defenders. But Odysseus had something on his side, something as powerful as any sword, his intellect. With his usual blend of cleverness and charisma, Odysseus hoped to convince the Trojans to end the war and return home victorious. However, the Trojans were not easily swayed. They saw through his crafty words, capturing him and his comrades instead. This unforeseen twist of fate set the stage for one of the most enduring tales of Odysseus's legendary adventures. While imprisoned by the Trojans, Odysseus had a bitter falling out with a fellow Greek, Palamedes. Odysseus had not forgotten how Palamedes dared to put his son in danger just to recruit him for this war. In a vengeful act, Odysseus plotted against Palamedes. He cunningly planted false evidence in Palamedes' quarters, evidence that made it seem as if the accused was secretly aiding the enemy. The ruse worked, and the Greek leaders, swayed by Odysseus's deceit, sentenced Palamedes to death. This episode was one of the darkest moments in Odysseus's life. It revealed the depths of his cunning nature, showing that he would do whatever it took to safeguard his reputation and secure his future in a world where survival meant more than mere strength. In the midst of the legendary Trojan War, Odysseus emerged as a pivotal character, playing a role as significant as any hero on the battlegrounds of ancient Greece. A diplomat of unparalleled acumen, Odysseus proved his mettle time and again as he steered the Greek forces. When Agamemnon, their leader, devised a cunning plan to test the resolve of his troops, Odysseus was the voice of reason that quelled their impulsive stampede towards home. His leadership kept the Greek army intact, committed to their mission to lay siege to Troy. However, Odysseus's diplomatic skills weren't always enough to mend the rifts. In a tragic episode, Agamemnon's pride led to a bitter quarrel with Achilles, the mightiest of Greek warriors. The consequences were severe, as Achilles withdrew from the war. Odysseus, the peacemaker, attempted to reconcile the hero with Agamemnon, but his efforts were in vain. With the absence of Achilles and the Trojans gaining ground, Odysseus and his ally Diomedes embarked on a daring nighttime mission behind enemy lines. They captured a Trojan spy, Dolon, who revealed valuable intelligence. This information led them to the Thracian king Rhesus and his prized horses, which they brazenly seized after an audacious attack on his camp. Not only was Odysseus a master diplomat, but he also proved himself a courageous and skilled warrior. On several occasions, he played a crucial role in battles, preventing Greek forces from being completely overrun by the Trojans. Even in lighter moments, such as the funeral games for the fallen hero Patroclus, Odysseus displayed his mettle. He engaged the mighty Ajax in a wrestling match, holding his own against this formidable adversary, and triumphed in a foot race that showcased his agility and speed. When Achilles, overwhelmed by grief and anger over Patroclus's death, sought vengeance, it was Odysseus who acted as the voice of reason. He convinced Achilles to let his fellow warriors eat and rest before engaging the Trojans, ensuring they were in the best condition for battle. As the Trojan War raged on, the great Greek warrior Achilles met his tragic demise, In the wake of this loss, there arose a need to decide the fate of his legendary armor. Who was worthy to don the powerful symbol of this fallen hero? Odysseus and Ajax, another mighty Greek champion, both yearned to inherit the illustrious armor. The Greek leaders, recognizing the need for a fair decision, held a contest. It wasn't a contest of strength, but a battle of wits. Odysseus took center stage, his eloquence and persuasive skills shining like polished bronze. With a moving and convincing speech, he convinced the leaders that he was the true heir to Achilles's remarkable armor. The prize was his, but it came at a cost, a deep rift between him and Ajax, who vowed vengeance against Odysseus. But Athena, Odysseus's protector, caused Ajax to go mad and turn his sword against the livestock instead. When Ajax realized what he had done, he killed himself in shame. This armor would soon become a symbol of Odysseus's courage and prowess on the battlefield, but it would also cast a long shadow over his future, for the trials and adventures ahead would be as relentless as the Trojan War itself. With the deaths of both Achilles and Ajax, the Greeks were down their two best warriors. But for Odysseus, there were more challenges on the horizon, and they bore the names of Neoptolemus and Philoctetes. Neoptolemus, also known as Achilles' son, was a fierce and youthful Greek warrior. His role was pivotal in the ultimate downfall of the city of Troy. Odysseus had to find a way to work alongside this headstrong and valiant youth. But that wasn't all. The other Greek warrior, Philoctetes, who possessed a mighty relic, the bow of Heracles. This bow was a weapon of immense power. Philoctetes had been abandoned on a desolate island due to a painful wound, and Odysseus was tasked with the challenge of convincing him to rejoin the Greek army. His presence was indispensable for the final assault on Troy. It was in these intricate negotiations that Odysseus's diplomatic skills and resourcefulness shone brilliantly. Handling these complicated situations and securing the aid needed for victory demonstrated his mettle as a leader. With the fall of Troy hanging in the balance, the Greek leaders needed a masterful plan. Their target was the protective statue of Athena, the Palladium, believed to be the city's talisman. To win, they had to breach the city's walls and take this precious relic. Once more, Odysseus and his trusted companion Diomedes showcased their craftiness. Disguised as ordinary Trojan citizens, they crept into the city. With keen wit and swift hands, they succeeded in stealing the Palladium. The stage was set for the grand finale of the Trojan War, but it required a plan of audacious proportions. At the helm of this daring scheme was Odysseus. The Greeks constructed a colossal wooden horse, a tribute to the gods, they claimed. Yet inside the hollow belly of this magnificent wooden creation lay a band of warriors led by Odysseus himself. Under the cloak of night, they hid inside the Trojan horse, while the Trojans, believing their adversaries had retreated, brought the colossal offering within the city walls, a symbol of their supposed victory. As the darkness enveloped Troy, Odysseus and his men emerged from their concealed quarters. They flung open the city gates, allowing the Greek army, who had stealthily returned under the veil of night, to flood in. Troy was sacked, and the Trojan War, a conflict that had raged for a decade, came to an end. With the fall of Troy, Odysseus's heart was set on returning home to his beloved Ithaca and reuniting with his dear wife Penelope. It was the end of one epic journey and the start of another. Little did Odysseus know that his voyage homeward would not be swift, nor would it be easy. The Odyssey, as it would come to be known, was about to unfold, marking a captivating tale filled with adventures, trials, and hardships that would span a grueling decade. Odysseus was not just a warrior, but a hero with a formidable intellect. His journey would test not only his strength, but his cunning and resilience. As he set sail with his loyal men, each challenge they encountered would reveal more of his extraordinary character. Odysseus and his crew, having escaped the ruins of Troy in the famous Trojan horse, embarked on their journey back to Ithaca. Their first stop was the town of Ismarus in Thrace, a place where they hoped to replenish their supplies and take some respite. The neighboring town, Sicones, however, were far from a welcoming committee. They were a proud and fierce people, not to be underestimated. But Odysseus's men, in the rush of their recent victory, grew reckless. Instead of simply gathering supplies and departing, They engaged in raiding, looting, and getting drunk. The Ciccones, angered and formidable, fought back with a vengeance. What was supposed to be a brief stopover turned into a battle. Many of Odysseus's comrades were lost that day. It was a harsh lesson in the perils of recklessness and the importance of caution on their long and treacherous journey back home. This setback marked the beginning of their tumultuous and perilous voyage, filled with both trials and discoveries, some of which would challenge Odysseus's leadership and resilience. As Odysseus and his men sailed further on their long journey home, they found themselves on an enchanting island inhabited by a seemingly peaceful people known as the Lotus Eaters. The island got its name from a peculiar fruit that grew there, the lotus fruit. Little did they know that this innocent-looking plant had a strange and dangerous effect. Curiosity got the better of some of Odysseus's crew, and they decided to taste the lotus. What happened next was unexpected. The lotus had a sweet, intoxicating flavor, and those who consumed it were immediately overwhelmed by a blissful forgetfulness. All thoughts of home, family, and their journey back to Ithaca vanished from their minds. Odysseus, quick to realize the danger, had to act swiftly. He understood that they couldn't afford to lose any more time or men to the lotus-induced lethargy. With determination, he dragged his enchanted comrades back to the ship, breaking the spell of the lotus. The Lotus Eaters served as a warning that the journey home was fraught with distractions and challenges. One of the most perilous and renowned episodes of Odysseus's Odyssey was the encounter with the Cyclops, a monstrous one-eyed giant named Polyphemus. Hungry and in need of shelter, Odysseus and his crew stumbled upon the Cyclops' cave, unaware of the dangers that lurked within. Polyphemus, far from being a welcoming host, turned out to be a hostile and savage giant. He trapped Odysseus and his men in his cave with sinister plans to devour them one by one. Yet Odysseus, known for his shrewdness, hatched a daring escape plan. He craftily told Polyphemus that his name was Nobody. Then he offered the giant wine, and as Polyphemus slept in a drunken stupor, Odysseus and his men seized the opportunity. They drove a sharp wooden stake into Polyphemus's single eye, blinding him. As the giant writhed in agony and called for help, he could only tell the other Cyclopes that Nobody was attacking him. The other Cyclopes were rightfully confused by Polyphemus and assumed he was ill or simply having a bad dream. The next day, Polyphemus opened his cave to pasture his sheep, but he did not want Odysseus and his men to escape. In his attempts to prevent this, Polyphemus would touch the back of each sheep as they left to ensure that no one escaped. Odysseus, however, already accounted for this. He ordered his men to carry the sheep above their heads as they walked out so that they wouldn't get caught. This clever ruse allowed Odysseus and his crew to slip away, avoiding the wrath of the other Cyclopes and their giant captor. The encounter with Polyphemus was a testament to Odysseus's quick thinking and resourcefulness in the face of terrifying and seemingly insurmountable challenges. After narrowly escaping the clutches of the Cyclops, Odysseus and his crew cried out from their ship, "Cyclops, if any one of mortal men shall ask thee about the shameful blinding of thine eye, say that Odysseus, the sacker of cities, blinded it, even the son of Laertes, whose home is in Ithaca." When Polyphemus heard these words, he casted boulders towards Odysseus, nearly sinking the ship. Afterwards, he begged his father Poseidon to avenge him. Poseidon, hearing these words, prevented Odysseus from returning home for 10 years. Their next destination was the island of Aeolus, the god of winds. Here, they received a precious gift from Aeolus, a bag containing the winds that would guide them safely back to Ithaca. With a favorable breeze propelling their ship forward, they set sail, their hopes soaring as high as the winds. They were so close to home that they could practically taste their return. But fate had other plans. As they neared the shores of Ithaca, exhaustion overcame Odysseus, and he fell into a deep slumber. Meanwhile, curiosity got the better of his crew members, who couldn't resist peeking into the bag from Aeolus. They believed it held valuable treasure. To their shock and dismay, they had unwittingly unleashed a storm that raged with fierce intensity. The winds, once their allies, had now become their enemies. The storm blew their ship far off course, back to the very island of Aeolus. Aeolus, believing that Odysseus was cursed by the gods, refused to help a second time. This bitter setback proved that even the most promising of victories could quickly turn into defeats on their treacherous quest to return home. Odysseus and his brave crew continued their perilous journey, their resolve tested at every turn. Their next ordeal came when they stumbled upon the land of the Laestrygonians, a race of monstrous giants known for their cannibalistic tendencies. Unbeknownst to them, danger lurked on these shores. The Laestrygonians, towering in size and appetite, launched a vicious attack on Odysseus's fleet. These marauding giants destroyed the ships, capturing and devouring Odysseus's crew. Only one vessel, Odysseus's own, managed to escape the clutches of the Laestrygonians, though not without suffering heavy losses. After this gruesome encounter, the crew's spirit was shaken, and the realization of the daunting journey ahead weighed heavily on them. Their journey then led them to the island of the enchantress Circe. Circe possessed a mastery of magic that struck terror into the hearts of Odysseus's men. She transformed some of the crew into pigs, a terrifying and bewildering sight for their leader. Guided by the god Hermes, Odysseus confronted Circe. With his characteristic wit and courage, he persuaded her to break the enchantment and restore his men to their human forms. Yet, rather than being the sinister witch they had feared, Circe surprised them with her hospitality and offered guidance. Odysseus and his crew stayed on her island for a year, replenishing their strength and gaining valuable knowledge for the challenges that lay ahead. Circe's island was unlike any place Odysseus and his crew had encountered. It was a land of enchantment, filled with wild beauty and danger lurking just beneath the surface. Circe was a sorceress of immense power, capable of bending people to her will with her magical brews. Her captivating charm was hard to resist, and she offered Odysseus a magical drink that could make him forget his troubles and remain with her in the lap of luxury. She was a seductive temptress, and her island was a paradise of indulgence and enchantment. It was a place that could easily ensnare anyone who fell under its spell. But Odysseus, ever true to his quest, resisted her allure. His heart remained steadfastly devoted to his homeland, Ithaca, and to his beloved wife Penelope. To gain a deeper understanding of his journey and to receive guidance, Odysseus embarked on a perilous descent into the underworld. Guided by the wise prophet Tiresias, he navigated the dark and eerie realm of the dead, a place where few living souls dared to tread. When Tiresias appeared, he gave Odysseus clear instructions to avoid harming the cattle of Helios when he and his men visit the island of Thrinacia. He also warned Odysseus that when he did reach Ithaca, he would find his palace overrun by suitors trying to marry his wife Penelope and claim his kingdom. Tiresias then revealed that Odysseus had offended Poseidon by blinding his son Polyphemus. Thus, after returning to Ithaca, he would need to go on another journey to appease the powerful god. After learning what he needed from Tiresias, Odysseus spoke to the shades of people he had known while they were alive, including Achilles, Agamemnon, and even his own mother, Anticlea, who had died waiting for her son to come home from Troy. He also saw many famous dead heroes, such as Theseus, and villains suffering eternal punishment such as Sisyphus and Tantalus. The underworld was a place of shadows and sorrow, where the past and present merged in eerie harmony. It was a realm of darkness, but it was in this inky abyss that Odysseus found a glimmer of hope. With newfound knowledge and unwavering resolve, Odysseus continued his quest to return to his homeland, Ithaca, and to the loving arms of his wife, Penelope. The underworld, with all its haunting mysteries, had offered him the wisdom he needed to continue his journey. The seas continued to be unforgiving, and Odysseus and his faithful crew faced a barrage of harrowing challenges. As their ship sliced through the waves, they encountered perilous sea monsters and treacherous whirlpools that threatened to swallow them whole. These treacherous waters demanded constant vigilance. Perhaps the most alluring and deadly threat came in the form of the sirens. These enchanting creatures sang a hauntingly beautiful song that lured sailors to their doom. But Odysseus, the master strategist, was prepared. He had his crew block their ears with beeswax to resist the siren's call while he himself, bound to the mast, listened without danger. Amid these terrors, one of the most significant challenges emerged when they reached the island of Helios, the sun god. Here, Odysseus cautioned his crew not to harm Helios's sacred cattle, for such an act would enrage the gods. However, hunger and recklessness led to disaster. Driven by desperation, Odysseus's crew slaughtered the sacred cattle, disregarding their leader's wise warning. The gods, ever watchful, were furious at this blatant disrespect. A terrible storm sent by Zeus descended upon them. It unleashed its wrath upon Odysseus's ship, sinking it into the unforgiving depths. He alone survived, cast ashore on an unknown island, further extending the trials on his already arduous journey. The sea, as fickle as fate, carried Odysseus to the beautiful and remote island of Ogygia. There he found himself an unwilling guest, held captive by the nymph Calypso. Calypso, whose immortal heart had been touched by the mortal Odysseus, fell deeply in love with him. She kept him as her prisoner for 7 long years. Calypso offered Odysseus a tempting proposition, immortality and eternal youth at her side. Her charms were powerful, her island enchanting, and her affections for him were genuine. But Odysseus's heart remained unwavering in its loyalty to his homeland, his beloved wife Penelope, and his yearning to return to Ithaca. The passage of time on Ogygia was torturous for Odysseus, as he longed for his homeland with an ache that grew stronger with each passing day. He knew that he needed to escape the grasp of Calypso's enchantment to continue his quest to return to Penelope. Eventually, the gods intervened. Hermes ordered Calypso to release Odysseus under the command of Zeus. Calypso relented and allowed Odysseus to build a raft, but not before offering to make him immortal if he stayed with her. Odysseus gently declined this offer. With Calypso's blessings and a new determination in his heart, he ventured forth to continue his odyssey, but he was far from the end of his trials. He arrived on the shores of the land of the Phaeacians, a seafaring people known for their hospitality and kindness. Their king, Alcinous, welcomed Odysseus, providing him with shelter, warmth, and the chance to finally tell his story. Odysseus recounted his incredible journey to the Phaeacians, sharing the tales of his encounters with mythical creatures, cunning sorceresses, and the many hardships he and his crew had faced. His storytelling painted a vivid picture of the trials he had endured and the unyielding spirit that drove him forward. The Phaeacians, moved by Odysseus's story and the tenacity with which he sought to return home, were determined to assist him in his quest. They lavished him with gifts and offered him a ship that would carry him one step closer to his beloved Ithaca. With hope in his heart and the winds of fate at his back, it seemed that Odysseus might finally reach his homeland after a decade of harrowing adventures and challenges. Back in Ithaca, Penelope was constantly being pursued by countless suitors, all trying to take her hand in marriage. However, she remained steadfast and faithful to Odysseus. To buy herself time, she devised a clever ruse. She announced that she would choose a new suitor once she had completed weaving a shroud for Laertes, Odysseus's father. For 3 years she would weave this shroud, but each night she secretly unraveled her work, deferring the decision and confounding her persistent suitors. As Odysseus's ship sliced through the waves, inching closer to the shores of Ithaca, he knew he was returning to a kingdom in turmoil. After all, Odysseus had been gone for a long time, 20 years in total, spending 10 years in the Trojan War and 10 more years on his long journey home. Rumors of his demise had spread far and wide during his absence. To conceal his true identity from these invaders, Athena, the goddess of wisdom, disguised Odysseus as a ragged old beggar. His first steps took him to the humble abode of Eumaeus, a loyal former servant, and there a heartwarming reunion awaited. His son Telemachus, now grown into a man, stood before him. In a moment, filled with tears and joy, Odysseus unveiled his true self to Telemachus and Eumaeus, forging an unbreakable bond and enlisting them in his quest to vanquish the suitors. Wearing the cloak of beggary, Odysseus approached his palace, the palace that had become an unwanted sanctuary for these brash suitors, feasting upon his estate and living recklessly in his absence. For days he allowed himself to be scorned and mistreated, biding his time in the role of a humble beggar. During this time, only 2 beings recognized him. The first was Argus, his faithful dog, who upon glimpsing his master after years of yearning breathed his final sigh. The second was Eurycleia, his old nurse, who identified him after seeing the long-forgotten scar on his thigh, given to him by a boar many years ago. One night, while still hidden behind the beggar's guise, Odysseus had a clandestine conversation with his wife Penelope, who had been warding off the unwanted advances of the suitors for years. In this fateful discussion, Penelope revealed a cunning plan. She declared that she would marry the winning of her contest. The contestant must string Odysseus's ancient bow and shoot an arrow through 12 axe rings. The following day, the great bow of Odysseus, once his trusty weapon, was brought forth. The arrogant suitors took turns attempting to string the bow, but none could even bend it, let alone pierce the dozen rings. It was in this pivotal moment that the beggar Odysseus stepped forward, proving the authenticity of his being. With ease, he strung the bow, aimed, and sent an arrow through all 12 rings. Astonishment gripped the suitors, and their unruly revelry turned to fear. The beggar's true identity was laid bare before them, revealing the legendary Odysseus, returned from the realms of myth and wandering. The moment of reunion was a heart-pounding one. Disguised as a beggar, Odysseus approached Penelope, ready to reveal his true identity. The stakes were high as he sought to win back the love and trust of his wife. Penelope, however, did not believe this beggar was Odysseus, despite him completing her contest. To test him, Penelope ordered the servants to bring out the bed so that the beggar may rest, but Odysseus immediately told her that this was impossible. He stated that he built the bed himself and that one of its legs was still attached to a living olive tree, deeply rooted in the ground. No one else could have known this fact, for it was a secret that Odysseus never told anyone except for his wife, Penelope. Penelope's heart surged with emotion as she realized that the man before her was her long-lost husband. The couple, separated for far too long, was finally reunited. It was a moment of immense love, joy, and relief. But with his return came new challenges. Odysseus had to face the task of reclaiming his palace from the unruly suitors who had overrun it during his absence. With the support of his son Telemachus, the loyal Eumaeus, and the faithful herdsman Philoetius, he slaughtered all the suitors who dared to make advances towards Penelope and disrespect his palace. He then embarked on a relentless mission to claim back his kingdom. But before dealing with the people of Ithaca, Odysseus wanted to see his father Laertes. After 20 years, Laertes was old and tired and did not recognize Odysseus. Laertes even asked if there was any news about his son. At that point, Odysseus revealed his identity to his father by recounting all the trees Laertes had given him when he was a child. Reunited at last, father and son went to deal with the relatives and friends of the fallen suitors who sought revenge for their deaths. Odysseus understood that sometimes violence was the only answer. With the help of his son Telemachus and a handful of loyal allies, Odysseus navigated these treacherous waters. He aimed to unite his kingdom under his rightful rule and heal the wounds caused by the invasion of the suitors. As he took up arms against the angry mob, Athena appeared before them. She quelled the rage in their hearts and called for a stop to the conflict. In the end, both sides were persuaded and peace returned to Ithaca. Having finally reunited with his beloved Penelope, Odysseus could finally enjoy the rest of his days with his family, or so he thought. Odysseus found himself embarking on yet another journey, one prompted by a lingering debt to the sea god Poseidon. The tumultuous relationship between Odysseus and Poseidon had its roots in the blinding of Polyphemus, the Cyclops, an act that had earned him the god's eternal wrath. Tiresias, the blind prophet of Thebes, had offered him a solution. He instructed Odysseus to carry an oar from his ship on his shoulder until he found a land where people didn't recognize it as an oar, but mistook it for a winnowing fan. There, he was to make a sacrifice to Poseidon. Odysseus set sail once again, this time journeying to the northern shores of Greece. After traveling deep into the interior, he encountered a local resident who, to his surprise, mistook the oar for a winnowing fan. As per the prophet's counsel, he planted the oar in the ground and offered a sacrifice to the god of the sea. But Odysseus's odyssey was not over. Instead of hurrying back to Ithaca, he found himself in the kingdom of the Thesprotians. While there, he encountered a woman of great beauty and wisdom, the Thesprotian queen Callidice. Their connection was instant, and they fell in love. With Odysseus's guidance and military prowess, the Thesprotians waged a successful war against their neighboring rivals. His marriage to Kaladisi brought stability and prosperity to the kingdom. However, as the years passed, Kaladisi passed away. With the affairs of the Thesprotians now in order, Odysseus knew it was time to set sail for Ithaca, his one true home. However, fate held yet another twist in his epic tale, for his son Telegonus, born of his union with the sorceress Circe, had set out on a journey of his own. Telegonus arrived in Ithaca, a land he had never known, and unaware of his true lineage. In his ignorance, he began raiding the countryside, inciting fear and anger among the locals. The news of this menacing stranger reached the ears of Odysseus, who decided to confront the marauder head-on. Father and son, both oblivious to their relationship, met on the battlefield. In the clash of arms, Telegonus delivered a fatal blow to Odysseus with a spear tipped by the poisonous barb of a stingray. It was a tragic twist of fate, as father and son lay eyes upon each other for the first time, only for their encounter to end in bloodshed. Telegonus, upon realizing the truth, was shattered by the revelation that he had killed his own father. In grief and remorse, he ensured a proper burial for Odysseus, honoring him with the respect and love due to a hero. Following this somber act, Telegonus brought Penelope and Telemachus to his mother Circe's mystical island of Aeaea. There, bonds were rekindled and new alliances formed. Telemachus, Odysseus's son, entered a union with Circe, and Telegonus, in an unexpected turn of events, found love and companionship with Penelope, Odysseus's faithful wife. The adventures of Odysseus had been a saga of trials and triumphs, love and loss, and ultimately, the enduring power of family and destiny. In his death, Odysseus had found reconciliation and unity for his family, bringing together those who had once been strangers, uniting them on the shores of his beloved Ithaca.